You are listening to the Rob Scott Podcast, your source for Rob's take on current events. Let's begin the show.
Well, this has been an exciting Monday and Tuesday. Actually, it's been kind of slow at work, which is nice. The days aren't too bad, and the weather has been acceptable. And what I mean by acceptable is that there's been no snow and no rain, and the roads have been dry, and the weather has been nice. And I'm getting home early, and that is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. So I keep praying for the same. That's what I want. There's a lot in the news in the last few days. Ron DeSantis, I guess he suspended his campaign, and I guess he got together with his crew and decided that there was no path for him to make it to the presidency. So he suspended his campaign right before the New Hampshire primaries. Of course, there are people that are all over him because of that, especially on the left, criticizing him, and then even on the right. And what I say to you is, you know, go screw yourselves. This guy put himself out there. He tried to do his best, and he's a great governor. I think if he would have made it to, I would have voted for him if he would have made it through the primaries. Just a great leader, a great governor, and I'm sorry to see him leave. But, you know, it just wasn't in the cards for him to be nominated this time around. Personally, I thought maybe he should have stayed out of the race until after this next 4 years. Because you just had this huge bull in the living room and just tore everything up, and that's Trump. And I just didn't think that nobody's going to have a real shot at it except for him. I think he's just got too big of a following, and with all the legal issues and things like that, just made him more popular. And if you look at DeSantis's numbers, they started to fall after Trump's indictments, and nobody was ever to catch up with him again. So I hate to see him go. I think he's a great, I think he'd be a great president. And I still do, and I hope that he has an opportunity to serve as president at another time. I think he'd be great. Maybe he gets some kind of cabinet position or something like that. I wouldn't mind seeing him as an AG, or that would be wonderful. He could start taking back some of the DOJ and the FBI and things and set things straight there. So who knows? We'll see what happens with him. You know, perhaps maybe he, you know, he just wants to continue to work in Florida and continue to make great strides there. So I can't knock the guy for trying, and we'll see what happens. But I'm glad he was able to, come to that conclusion. Might as well not, spend any money. Probably isn't getting a lot of funding any longer because there's just no path for him to get there. So he's a smart guy, and we'll see a lot more of him. You know, I see a lot of these people talking about, like scrolling through your Facebook and your Instagram and your X and TikToks and stuff like that. And how they say you shouldn't, you shouldn't scroll. Take more time to, do reading and educating yourself and things like that. And, I was kind of like scrolling through, and I was actually scrolling through to see what my kids were posting with the babies and with the grandkids, actually. And I realized that there is so much garbage and crap that is... If you can get through the garbage and the crap, and then if you get through the ads that I don't ask for, and then get past the people that I don't even know who are posting things that are friends of friends of friends of friends of friends, and it comes down to they're exactly correct. It just does not make any sense to scroll because there's really nothing on any of these platforms that's really worth your time and effort. Every once in a while, however, you run across a little snippet or a little news piece or video or something like that that catches your eye. And this has been out for a few days now, but I just ran across it. And I don't know if you've seen it or not. It's the one with the on the border. It's the Middle Easterner guy who is bragging about... you don't know who I am, but soon you will know who I am. I'll play that for you here. I thought it was kind of interesting. If our wonderful FBI and Border Patrol and our President of the United States doesn't really kind of check this guy out, I think we're going to have a serious problem here. This is the kind of guy that you pick up and... you send home. You just don't mess around with it. Because I don't want to find out that, by him blowing up a building or, taking another plane and flying into another building or doing something that is going to cause a lot of issues and a lot of pain and sorrow for America and for its citizens. This is just one of these guys that you just need to the FBI and... needs to pick up and send him back to where he came from. Because if he's going to open up his big mouth about stuff like that, then he shouldn't be in this country in the first place. I don't know. Maybe he's thinking he's going to be the next Elvis or something like that. I have no idea. But listening to him, I don't think he's talking about music, and I don't think he's talking about Hollywood or something like that. I think he's talking about doing some damage here in this country. And... that we should, these are one of these signs that, the bells, bing, 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 ding, 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 we should be looking at and hearing and paying attention to. And this guy should definitely be picked up and then given a free ride back home to where he came from. So I don't know if you've heard this or not, but here's this video.
If you are smart enough, you will know who I am. But you are really not smart enough to know who I am. But soon you're gonna know who I am.
You know, we've had almost 10 million illegal aliens come through our borders over the last 3 years. That's unprecedented, number one. I know that the Democrats like to use a lot of this unprecedented, the greatest number. They like to use all these metaphors and these things all the time, describing what they're doing. Like they are the best in the world. There's nobody like them. They're gods. Nobody's done anything like this ever before in the history of this country and things like that. Well, they can actually claim that because nobody has allowed 10 million illegal aliens in our country. And I heard that, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard about 8 million of those are just normal people coming through, given the court dates, they're supposed to come back, but there's about 2 million that have not been vetted and that have been let into the country and we'll never see them again. And when I think of 2 million people, I think of this douchebag who's sitting there bragging about who he is and you don't know my name, but soon you will. Those are the one of those 2 million that we really need to be looking to be concerned about. And it just doesn't seem like our administration really gives they just don't care. They just want people to come in. They're looking for votes. They're looking for a new people to give things to so they can kind of like enslave them like they have so many other people in this country, especially if you listen to a lot of dialogue and if you listen to a lot of commentary on this, the way that the black population has been enslaved by the Democrats and the programs that they have, and then they're promised so many different things each election cycle, and those things are never those promises are never kept, and you're starting to see a turn in the black population. You're starting to see the poll numbers start to change. They're claiming that they're not going to vote for Biden. They're getting angry at the Democratic Party because they're always looked at as a group instead of individuals. And there have been several outspoken community leaders, like in Chicago and New York, who have come out and basically have said that we are tired of being abused. We are tired of being used by the Democratic Party, that we're individuals, and that we don't need to vote as a block. We don't need to, because we're black, we don't need to always vote Democrat. And I think you're seeing that in the polls, Trump's polls, as far as who's going to be voting for him. And I think this election is going to be, I think this election is going to be a big surprise to people. The Democrats are really counting on Joe Biden, you know, winning the election over Trump again, like he did before. Now, unless they've got a new secret weapon to cheat and to switch things up and figure out another way to get around the laws of this country, and I don't see how they're gonna. I really don't see how they're gonna do that. His polling, his favorable rating is in the mid-30s, to mid-30s, 37 or something like that percent. The rest of and that's across the board. That's even with the younger generation. They're starting to cross the line and looking at Donald Trump, because I think they know that. Here's the thing with Trump. Okay. You may not like him because he tweets a lot and he talks a lot and he's, you know, he seems to be mean and everything else like that and what he does. But here's the thing, you know, most of his talk and, you know, that he's been doing on this primary is it's all been kind of like transactional stuff. I don't think he means a lot of the stuff that he says. I think it's just out there. That's what he does. And that's pretty evident, because when Ron decided that he was going to suspend his campaign, of course, Donald Trump says, well, you know what, I'm going to retire the sanctimonious now. And it's just like, it's over with, I'm done, okay, he's gone, you know, nothing was meant by that, blah, blah, blah. And I just think that's the way that man is. I just don't think that he really takes a lot of this stuff personally. I think it's just a matter of politics and a matter of I want to do what I need to do to win, and when I get there, then I don't take any of this stuff personal. And I really believe that the Democrats are really counting on something that's not going to take place. People voted last in 2020 because they didn't like Donald Trump. Now we've seen 3 years of what a Democratic administration looks like, and what we have experienced since this man has been in power. And you didn't have that before. What you had was this grandpa, I'm going to bring civility back to the White House. The grown-ups are back in here, and blah, blah, blah. We won't have all this nonsense going on with Twitter and all these comments and things, and this immature person running the White House anymore. But the problem is that's not what we got. What we got is the exact same thing, just an older man, and he's a grandpa, but we just got the same thing. And what we've gotten more is more divided than unified, which we were promised. And we are not more unified. We are more divided and separated than we were 3 years ago. Not to mention, we are involved in more on foreign policy, more on foreign wars than we've ever been before. The economy isn't going the way that the administration wants you to think, and it tries to point you that direction. Everybody knows it. You know, I read this little thing on I think it was Instagram or on X, where it says before you go vote, go shopping, go fill up your gas tank, and go look, you know, go look at new homes and what new homes cost and what the interest rates are before you go vote this time, which is, I thought that was pretty smart, because it's really going to bring back to you where we are and where we've been. And I really think that, you know, you might see some changes over the next year. The interest rates might come down. Gas prices are starting to come down. And these things are going to change. And I believe they're going to be short term because they're only doing this stuff just to make Biden look better for the election. And then they'll just go right back up. So what you're looking at is the 4 years of Donald Trump, not his talking and things like that, but his actual policies and what that looked like. More people working, interest rates were lower, houses were affordable. We didn't have any wars. Foreign policy was phenomenal. We were a powerhouse in oil production and gas production. And we were ahead in just about every aspect that you can think of. Okay, the border was secure. We didn't have hardly any illegal aliens coming through. We had laws and things in place to keep that from happening. And then all of a sudden, you know, in 2020, when he lost the election, everything flipped. And now we saw everything just basically, you know, like a toilet flush it, whoosh, and you just saw everything go down the toilet. And you saw interest rates go up, housing going up, gas going up, fuel going up, and people just can't afford to do it that much. They can't afford to do it anymore. And you have a completely different situation. You don't have COVID, so you know you can't go back and push COVID like you did in 2020. So what they're going to do is they're going to try to push this January 6th thing, which everybody's kind of tired of. And now that we're starting to see other things kind of come out of the January 6th House Committee, I can't remember what the terminology, what the House did with the, you know, with their investigation. We're starting to see that a lot of this quote unquote insurrection talk isn't really insurrections. It was a bad, and it was a blight. It was a black spot on the country to see that taking place. Yes, of course, you know, you had a few hundred people acting stupid and they shouldn't have, but there was no danger to our democracy like they want to make you believe. And then the more that they talk, the more that you can continue to hear things that are coming out, that just wasn't the case. Just recently, there's this whole case with the two bombs that were placed right outside the DNC and the RNC, and now they're, you know, who is the one at place that they have cameras all over the place? Why can't the FBI identify the person that placed these bombs? Were they real bombs? Were they just deployed? Were they there as a resource for the FBI for training? Nobody knows, but what we're getting is we're not getting anything from the FBI, any kind of explanation of why they can't tell us who the person was who planted the bombs, and you know, why Kamala Harris was at the DNC instead of in the Capitol, where early on they said she was, and why don't we know what's going on with those bombs that were placed in those two locations? I've asked that question many times. We still don't have an answer. It's an answer pretty much the same as, you know, like who shared the information on the Roe versus Wade. We don't have that. We'll never have that. For some reason, that'll never be released. And it's just hard for me to believe that, you know, if it was a serious allegation about these bombs, I would think that the Democrats and the January 6th Commission would have brought those up as something that was a serious contemplation about the insurrection, you know. But they were that was never brought up. And it's been almost like completely forgotten until just the last couple of days when people are starting to ask questions about, you know, who placed the bombs? Why were they there? Were they there for, you know, are they real bombs or were they just fake bombs? So there's more and more of this coming out. And I think now that reporting is starting to take place a little bit and you're starting to, you know, these things are starting to show up on different podcasts and things like that. You know, there's going to have to be some answers to this. And I just don't think that this January 6th thing is going to be a successful ploy against Donald Trump. I just don't. I think Biden's just way underwater with his like and dislike numbers right now. There's just a lot of people that just don't agree that he's doing a very good job. Plus his age, and not just his age. That doesn't really bother me too much. It's just his cognitive ability that is you've seen it just gradually decay over the last 3 years and kind of rapidly, and which is kind of a scary thing. So I know the Democrats are worried about him and they don't really have a replacement for him. There's been talk about Michelle Obama, a couple other people who are, you know, talking about getting in the race. I don't know if that'll ever happen or not, but I think that they're overplaying their hand. And they, over the next, you know, 9 months or, you know, 9 months, I hope that Trump has a really good plan to go after this guy. And I really hope that he just concentrates on his performance as president of the United States. You really can't argue with that. And I know the Democrats want to talk about January 6th and he's a Nazi and he's Hitler and all this stuff. And I think so many people have heard that so much that it's just old news and it's just not something that they know is true. And just with his win in Iowa, and I guess we'll find out with the New Hampshire primaries, how well he'll do there over Nikki Haley. But I think he's going to blow that out the water as well. It's just not the same situation as it was in 2020. COVID was a huge mess, and they really capitalized on COVID at that time. And Trump could have handled it a little bit better. I don't know if he could have, based on the information he had at the time. But they used that against him, and then they used, you know, mail-in balloting and write-in balloting and things like that, and just played a lot of games with the last election that I don't think that they're going to get away with this time. So I think it's going to be a lot different. I really do. And I think people are starting to get angry and pissed off at what's going on in our country. I don't think that people like the division that we have. And it seems to me like you have one side of the aisle, these leftists, these far left, who just continue to push this narrative of division and just, you know, hate for the other side. Black against white, you know, Democrats against Republicans. And, you know, they're just trying to paint Republicans as devils and just bad people. And you're talking about half the country here. And I just think people are getting tired of it. And they want work to be done out of Congress, and they're not getting that work done. I mean, there's nothing getting done in Congress. I mean, really. And they just don't like, you know, personally, I don't like it. And I'm sure that the country doesn't like, the people of this great country don't like it either. They don't like being involved in a war that we don't see any end game to. There's no off ramp to get out of this. We just continue to flood it with money. And you got to start thinking of why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Why are we keeping our borders open, you know, and expediting the number of people that are coming in this country? And that brings me to my last point, and this might be a little controversial, but I really believe, and I talked about this earlier, I really believe that the reason why the black community is starting to see it's starting to change and starting to their perspective on who they're going to vote for, and getting away from the Democratic side of it. Is I really believe this. I really believe that they are seeing what's happening at the border, because they are against this illegal these illegals coming into our country, and I think that they are seeing themselves. And this goes along with the great replacement theory that the Democrats try to push on the Republicans. I believe that they're starting to see the Democrats shifting from relying on the black community to relying more on the brown community, which is these illegal aliens. I really do. And I don't think that they're going to go. I don't think that the Democrats, I think that they think that the black vote is in the bag. And I think that, but they're not really doing anything to solidify that with the black community any longer. They're focusing on illegal immigrants and hoping that that 10 million to 30 million over the last few years, I think that's the number, but 10 million definitely this first 3 years. I think they're seeing that shift of the Democratic Party going to these Hispanics and they're voting. And I believe that the Democrats are really overplaying the card here as well. Because I believe that these Hispanics are coming into this country. They want to work. They're not people that just want things for free. They'll get a phone. They'll get some insurance, get them on their feet when they first come here. But they're not here for free handouts. I don't think they're going to capture those people like they think that they're going to capture these people. And you're talking about a family-oriented group of people. Most of them are Christian, and they're coming here to work. They're coming here to want a better life. They're not here for free handouts and freebies, I don't think. There's some that would take advantage of that, but I think the majority of them aren't. And I think the black community is starting to see this, and I think that they see it and they say, well, you know, what's going on here? And then they see the interest that the Democratic Party has in that group of people, and that we're being forgotten again. And then they look at it and say, well, what has the Democratic Party really done for us ever? You know, they make promises to us every 4 years. Those promises are never kept. And we find ourselves in the same positions. They're starting to, that vote percentage is starting to change slightly in favor of Trump, because they saw what happened under a Trump administration. They saw their communities working more, ownerships of homes in a better position. They just saw themselves and their families and their situations better under Trump than they are seeing under Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. So it's going to be interesting to watch that. And I have a feeling that Trump is going to continue to push that like he did in 16, and he made good on that promise. And I would really like to see him really concentrate on his policies and really just the stark difference between him and Biden and the left. And that's where we need to get back to. And I think that really that's what Trump wants to do. I get the feeling from Trump that he really loves America, okay? And he really likes the people of the United States of America. I really do. If you ever just listen to him talk and you get past the bullshit that he throws out there because of politics and things like that, you really get the feeling that this man really loves his country. And that is a stark difference between the left and these progressives and the Democratic Party, which I believe has been taken over by these people, where they don't have that view of this country. They have a very negative, cynical view of this country. They don't like it. They don't like its people. They don't like half the country because the Republicans or the conservatives or they're Christian or they're Jewish. And they're just divisive in everything that they say. They follow exactly what the media does. The media does exactly what the Democratic Party tells them to do. And what you have is you have a party that is propagating just hate and fear. And people just don't want that anymore. I don't think they've ever wanted it. That's what's been happening. And I think they're just getting just tired and sick of it. And they are looking for a change. And I think these primaries are really going to tell us a lot about the mood of this country, especially on the Republican side. And if they start to get everybody united on that side, and then they could start pulling some independents, some Democrats, some of these moderate Democrats over to that side, it's going to be an interesting election in November. I just say wanted to say thanks for listening. I do appreciate the time that you take to listen to my podcast. Please, I guess they've changed some of the algorithms on Apple. If you need to push the follow button, so please just follow me. Give me 5 stars. Just tell your friends about my podcast if you would, and share it as often as you can. I really do appreciate it. I tried just to give you my opinion on things, and it's based on, you know, what I read and what I study. I try to get my facts. I try to get the correct information. After, you know, listening to different podcasts, reading different news stories, and reading to all different types and from all different sources. I just don't read just, you know, conservative sources or non-conservative sources. I try to read them all and try to get the truth, before I speak. I wish I had more time to be able to do this. I don't, because I work full time and I do this in the evenings. So I wish I had a bigger team. I wish I could have a team that would be able to do some research for me, but I can't do that right now. So I am doing the best I can, and I really do appreciate the time that you take to give me, you know, the half hour of your time. And I hope that you enjoy it and that you'll share it. So, okay, until next week.